KALW.
This period of time will help organizations to be much more deliberate in thinking about, when do you actually need to go to London?
Less traveling, less commuting, and more Zooming. We hear how work culture is changing and not going back.
That for people, for human beings, and for the planet, that is not a bad outcome.
A monumental restructuring of how we work. Then we'll hear about a Burning Man project that connected people in the desert with strangers around the world.
Hello from Black Rock City.
Well, that's incredible. Hello from Sao Paulo.
Oh my gosh. We had no idea. I picked up the phone and talked to somebody, and I thought it was somebody here in the camp picking up the phone, but it was somebody out there.
It's all about remote connections. That's coming up. I'm Hannah Baba, and this is Cross Currents. Millions of U.S. office workers have now stretched into their sixth month of the world's largest work-from-home experiment. Before the pandemic started, just 4% of Americans worked from home. Once the pandemic kicked in, that number jumped to 34%. Bay Area business leaders are announcing that remote work is here to stay. Facebook, Twitter, Slack all have announced more permanent plans for some or all of their staff to work remotely. But really, is this the new normal? According to Jennifer Chapman, yes, the new reality is here to stay, and it actually may be good for us. Jennifer is a professor of management at the Berkeley Haas School of Business and co-director of their culture initiative. She's been observing how work has changed in 2020 and says organizations are going through fundamental changes that are making work a better experience for humans and the planet.
If you had your researcher academic crystal ball in front of you, where do you see us if this continues to go on like this, where more and more companies are just staying online? How will culture evolve, let's say, 5-10 years from now? What will it look like to work?
Wow. I mean, I haven't really thought about it in the 5 to 10 year range. Super interesting question. So let me start by trying.
What, you don't have a crystal ball, Professor? You don't have a crystal ball in front of you, right in front of you?
No, but I'm always happy to speculate. This is part of the job. So let me try to answer that in more concrete terms first, and then let's talk about the sort of longer time horizon with respect to culture. So some of the building blocks of organizational life, I think, are going to change permanently. I do think that many organizations, which had been reluctant to kind of allow remote work, have really come around to seeing that this is a good thing. Certainly here in California, anyone who's driven on Highway 80 almost any time of day or night knows that that is a very unpleasant experience. The traffic is intense. It's stressful. And so the idea...
Or the 101.
Yeah, hello. Or the 101. Pick your... Or the 5, right? You can pick your freeway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not collectively a good use of the human experience, the human time frame. And so the idea that we give people more flexibility and have found that for many of the things that people do at work, they can actually do it flexibly on their own time, you know, in their own sort of physical space. And that works better, I think, than many organizations thought it would. I know of a number of Silicon Valley firms in particular that really held on to the idea that we have to be together, we have to, you know, interact on a very regular basis in person for us to get our work done. And they've been pleasantly surprised to find that that's not the case. But there are still some tasks, some aspects of work that really are going to be more effectively conducted face-to-face in person. And I think one of the things that organizations are going to get much better at is diagnosing the times when people need to be together and the times when it's less important. And that's great because I think what it means is that then we can redesign our physical space around those collaborative times when it's going to be really beneficial to get together. And we're going to bring in, you know, architects who can help us create collaborative space that's conducive to getting things done as a group. We can bring in all of our, you know, practices we know from social psychology about how to run effective groups. And I just think that we're going to get much more deliberate in thinking about when it really pays off to have people come together. But it's not going to be all the time. And I think that for people, for human beings, and for the planet, that is not a bad outcome. People were probably traveling too much, right? I have people who've told me, and I am guilty of the same thing, of, you know, having a one-hour meeting in London and actually getting on a plane at SFO and traveling to Heathrow and having a meeting. And
for a one-hour meeting?
For a one-hour meeting. I mean, you should ask.
Wow.
You should ask people, what is the longest trip you've taken for the shortest meeting? And people will have amazing stories for you. And, you know, both from the idea of the toll that it takes on, you know, our bodies and our mental states and our families, but even more than that, the toll that it takes on our planet, I think, is very problematic. And so, you know, like many things, the gifts that we've been given of flight and travel, we probably have overextended. And you could even get more dark about this and even say, you know, pandemics have spread in part because we're like too mobile as a world. So I actually think that the traffic and the stress of commuting and the sort of hypermobility and intense orientation toward travel has kind of overshot the mark. And my hope is that this period of time will help organizations to be much more deliberate in thinking about, when do you actually need to go to London? You know, when do you actually need to be there in person? And how can we make that a meaningful experience?
And in that way, you kind of did answer the 5-year and 10-year question. That sounds like it's not going away anytime soon. We're not going back.
Right. And so I think that, you know, from a broad cultural perspective, I think that this means less commuting, probably less travel for work, because it's expensive in all kinds of ways. I think it means more real estate vacancies, because I think organizations won't need as much permanent space. I think that space is going to be more temporary. And more geared towards supporting collaborative kinds of efforts rather than individual offices that are only used by a single person who's there sometimes and not there a lot of the time. I think those are some big trends that are going to emerge as a result of our discovery that there are some real advantages of remote work and being more deliberate about when we need to be together and when we don't.
Jennifer Chapman is a professor of management at the Berkeley Haas School of Business and co-director of their Culture Initiative. That interview was produced by Victor Tense. And you can hear more of my conversation with her at kelw.org. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. Next is an episode from The Intersection at Burning Man. Right now, people would have been preparing for their annual pilgrimage to a remote patch of desert in Nevada, where they would have built a temporary city filled with dance halls, bars, mutant vehicles, and massive art installations. This year, the festival's canceled, but we're taking you there through sounds and scenes from last year's event. KLW's managing editor and The Intersection producer, David Boyer, went out to Burning Man to explore the past, present, and future of the cultural phenomenon. In this episode, the project we're taking you to isn't big and flashy, but it's one of hundreds of labors of love, and it starts with a phone call between David and a stranger.
Hi there.
Hi. Where are you?
I'm at home in Europe. It's the middle of the night here.
Oh, really?
It's like at 2 in the morning.
My name is David. I haven't even told you my name.
I'm Sandra.
How do you spell that?
With an X. It's Dutch. You're in Black Rock City now.
Yeah, I'm looking out at the desert right now.
This year, I cannot go to Burning Man. But it's nice to talk to people. I can feel that you are there.
And so how did you hear about the fact that you could have somebody call you?
Social media. Did you receive my number or something?
No, there's just a phone, and you pick it up, and it just starts to ring.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah.
So I don't know how this thing works.
It basically just connects you with some person who wanted to be here, signed up online. We got, I think, 1,100 signups, and it just randomly scrolls through people until you get one.
That's David Cooper. He's the man behind this phone experiment. In the default world, that's what people here call everywhere else. David is a coder and comedian, which, come to think of it, makes a lot of sense.
Originally, I wanted to put a desk with, like, a phone on it in, like, just a really basic, boring cubicle 1,000 feet out there. And you picked it up and you were, like, in a call center. We couldn't get the okay to tunnel phone cabling. So I pivoted and we put phones in our lounge here at BMIR.
He's referring to Burning Man Information Radio. He's one of dozens of volunteers who keep the low-frequency station on air out here throughout the event. The station has a sweet setup in the heart of the city, with plenty of shade and a real welcoming vibe. So, 24 hours a day, weary passersby plop themselves on big old Salvation Army couches to drink some water, take a nap, or just stop moving for a few minutes. And right there, in the middle of it all, there's two phones on a dusty table. A brass Victoriana one, and a circa 1986 office model. This is Burning Man, so of course, people pick them up.
Well, hello.
Hello, from Black Rock City.
Well, that's incredible. Hello from Sao Paulo.
From where?
Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Oh my gosh. We had no idea. I picked up the phone and talked to somebody, and I thought it was somebody here in the camp picking up the phone, but it was somebody out there.
All of the calls were recorded by BMIR, and I got my hot little hands on a week's worth of conversations. What you're about to hear are snippets and samples from some of my favorite calls.
Hello?
Hello, this is Burning Man.
Hi, Burning Man. This is Betsy on the toilet.
This is Betsy on the toilet?
Yes. Well, hello. This must be Black Rock City calling me.
It is Black Rock City. This is Cracker Jack. Who's this?
This is Evil Chris.
Where are you?
Well, I'm in Kansas City, Missouri. I'm making my dinner right now. Yep.
Well, you're
oh my
about
gosh,
to hear
I called
a highlight
dinner?
From some
I'm
of
like
my
a
favorites.
Phone solicitor. That's horrible.
Don't even worry about it.
As the phone rings in Black Rock City, folks in the default world hear this recording.
Incoming call from Black Rock City. Press any key to accept. Your call may be recorded for quality assurance purposes.
A few hang up, but most can't wait to connect.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you?
Wicked.
I've been waiting for you.
Oh, you've been waiting for me. Oh, my God. Oh, I have been waiting for you. My name is Seppo Sheila.
My name is Eric.
Oh, cool. Where are you in the default world right now, Eric?
I am in London.
London? You don't sound like you're, like, English.
I'm not English. No, I'm from L.A.
I'm from Australia. And I'm a virgin.
Amazing. I'm so happy this worked. I signed up for this thing thinking that it wasn't going to ever happen.
One thing to understand is there's no cell service out here. And while there are plenty of rumors of hidden Wi-Fi hotspots, I haven't found one. So it's understandable. Callers are surprised when they reach someone from the outside world.
I just walked into this, like, Burning Man. What's the I stand for?
Thank you.
Oh, Burning Man Information Radio.
Oh. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you want me to hold the phone up and I can show you? We can be your eyes. You can be his eyes. Can you describe?
Yeah, be my eyes. What's happening right now?
There's bicycles riding by. There goes someone with blue hair. I can see a Gene Simmons Kiss doll. And there's a ton of dust. They all look like, you know, burners. They've got dust all over them.
That's what I wanted to hear.
Do you want to talk to Eric for a minute?
She's putting someone else on.
Hi, Eric.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
I knew that this...
I can't hear you, what?
Huh?
So, how does this thing work? Even though I have a sinking suspicion that I am not going to understand the answer, I ask David Cooper, the mastermind behind the project.
It was computer programming. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's what I do for a living.
What do you normally code?
I work for a heavy construction software company, so...
The result is different, but is the process different to create this?
Somewhat similar. It's a little application running on the internet. You pick up the phone, it hits the application selects the number, returns back to the phone, the dial, it rings, you know, so.
That right there is the sound of me, totally clueless.
And I noticed that it's not really labeled, it's just sort of sitting there.
Well, they're still labeled by that one that says information. People have come to BMIR looking for internet, or I need to pay my rent, and so we tell them, you know, perhaps cruelly, to pick up this phone.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Good morning.
How's the fun?
Having fun here. Is it possible if I ask you to send a message to one person?
Well, what's that message?
I got here safely.
All right, it's done. It's sent.
Okay, can I, phone number?
Okay, what is that?
7-9, and the person is Oksana. That's my wife.
All right, I'll call her.
Okay, thank you very much.
Have a good one, man.
Many of the calls are brief. A minute or two of trying to figure out what's going on, a bit of small talk, and then...
Yeah, have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
But some last a lot longer. The longest is actually over an hour, and these get a bit more intimate.
Hello.
Oh, my gosh, hello.
Hi there. You've reached sunny Rhode Island.
What?
That's where I am.
What do you mean, that's where you are? Who are you?
Well, my name's Randy, and 20 years ago, right now, I was at Burning Man and having one of the best weeks of my life. And I haven't made it out there since, because, like, I am in Rhode Island.
Wow. So this is a phone call out to a wise one out in the ether. You're not even on Playa right now?
I am in Bristol, Rhode Island, right beside the Atlantic Ocean.
Wow.
I was kind of watching Netflix and eating some popcorn, and the phone rang, and I didn't recognize the number. And then it said, do you accept a call from Black Rock City?
And
I'm kind of blown away.
Wow, how fun. What a joy. There's so much magic, so much beauty. Hold on, I'm getting a call from another line. Beep 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 beep. Hello, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Why don't you come back? Come see us out here.
Yeah, I would love to do it, but one of the reasons I never went back as much as I loved it. The whole thing was so much of a peak experience that I don't know if it could ever match, you know? I mean, I just turned 64 years old. I'm kind of semi-retired at this point, and so I'm...
Well, you're just a spring chicken, then. Yeah, bring an RV, be comfy, whatever, but we'll take care of you. Your wisdom is so much craved here, your presence. We want to see your face, too. Yay, Burning Dan just showed up. I'm on the phone with someone who hasn't been out here for 20 years. He said he was here when I was 20. I know, I'll come with you. Yeah, no, I'll go. But sorry, it's Burning Dan. You can't turn down Burning Dan. But anyways, gosh, do you want to talk to someone else out here, or do you want to just be left alone?
I think I'm good for now.
Good. Well, that was such a fulfilling experience for me, so thank you so much. So much love. Thank you for your time.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That was an excerpt from episode 6 of The Intersection at Burning Man, produced by KALW's managing editor, David Boyer. To hear more of the conversations from that project and other episodes from the season, go to theintersection.fm. And tune into Cross Currents Monday at 5 for a whole new episode from the series. We're taking you to Burning Man's spiritual center.
I feel like the temple is very sacred. It's probably the one place at Burning Man that is what I consider sacred.
The ritual that started it all, Monday at 5 on Cross Currents. And before we go, we're going to leave you with a mini reading from an Oakland author and burner, Yodasa Williams. This is from her debut novel, The Goddess Twins.
Here's one of my favorite paragraphs in the early section of the book, when one of the twins, Aurora, is processing a memory she had of when she was younger, when she nearly drowned, and it explains some of her reluctancy to follow on this mission to find her mother. I splashed like an injured seal, yelling for Arden and mother. My mouth filled with salt water. The sun blinded me. I was going under. But then suddenly I felt strong arms wrap around me, lifting me upward, keeping me afloat. Too exhausted to open my eyes, I clung to the warm, curvy body that moved me swiftly through the water. Mother, I thought, who else would save me? Who else would hold me with such care? When I came to on the sand, Arden was the only one there. She was frantic, shaking me. Aurora, are you okay? Can you hear me? I nodded, coughing. Where is Mom? I don't know. But Mom carried me out, I said. No, it was someone, a woman I've never seen before, with long hair and skin so dark it looked like midnight. She pulled you to shore and then disappeared in the water quickly. It wasn't my mother who saved me.
That was Yodasa Williams reading from her debut novel, The Goddess Twins. Find more information about that and more books at klw.org/newarrivals. Today's Cross Currents team includes Christopher Agusa, Imran Ali Malik, Truk Nguyen, Marissa Ortega Welch, and Babette Thomas. Our engineers are James Rollins and Gabe Graben. Production manager is Shireen Adil. Our managing editor is David Boyer. News director is Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.